Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe. I've got another week of news to talk about, so we're going to go ahead and bring in Bob Harris right now. Bob, how are you doing? You there, Bob?
If the sneezing begins.
Oh, there we go. There we go. I had to click that button to get you on, apparently. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Got a little allergy issue. If I start sneezing, bear with me.
Oh, goodness gracious. You didn't take a Claritin today.
I did not.
Uh-oh. That's trouble. How you been? How was the week?
It's going smooth, man. A little busy, a little hectic. You know, we're sitting here cranking out the Pro Forecast magazine, the 20th anniversary edition of the Pro Forecast magazine. Got a few days of work left on that. But it's been a lot of fun. We think it's going to be packed full of information, as always. All kinds of good stuff for everybody. And hey, in case anybody's missed it, we've got the Die Hard stimulus plan going. You buy this magazine, and we'll give you $20, basically. We're going to give you the full Die Hards, the regular season and preseason, the August update and flash update, for nothing. If you buy the magazine, usual price, we'll hand you $20. Mighty kind of us, I think.
Sounds like a pretty good deal to me, and that's all the information you need to guarantee success for your fantasy football team, right?
You know, we will have the information you need to make the proper call at any given time, but you got to make the call. That's what it's all about. Everyone wants, you know, we're not the experts. We're there to make you the expert.
See, that's the key. That's the key. Well, in that vein, we got a bunch of stuff to hit on so far this week. Let's go ahead and get started right away with one of my favorite stories from the week. Tony Dungy came out earlier in the week and is not really convinced that Cutler's the savior that some people in Chicago think he is. In fact, he's not even sure he's the best quarterback in the NFC North.
You know, great minds think alike, and I like to think I have a great mind. And hey, I've been, you know, anyone who's been listening to this, you know, go back to the days when Cutler's trying to work his way out of Denver. I haven't been a big fan of the way he's handled the situation. Obviously, Tony Dungy isn't either, and it is part of being a quarterback and is being the leader. And you know, I think, you know, we look at some of the things that have gone on recently. You look at even Peyton Manning coming out and letting making public, and hey, Rodney Harrison took a whack at him at the same day Tony Dungy took his whacks at Cutler. But just say, yeah, you know, you don't see Tom Brady complaining about anything. They don't do anything publicly, and it's a perception that the team needs to have of their quarterback that he's that kind of leader. And I think you do see it more with Tom Brady and these other guys. And Cutler's problem is he's a young guy. He hasn't won. You know, he doesn't have that winning record now. Again, I will argue on his behalf that he has not had a great defense in Denver, that he hasn't been the problem in Denver. But still, at the end of the day, when you're talking about quarterbacks, the wins and losses, you know, they get more credit than they should and they get more blame than they should. That's part of being part of that job.
Yeah, it still all looks the same on paper. I mean, he hasn't really had any of those breakout years. He went to the Pro Bowl last year, but hasn't really had anything big he can hang his hat on yet.
Yeah, nobody doubts his ability. I think what's interesting about what Dungy was talking about was the fact that he feels like Lovie Smith was pressured, you know, to beat the Packers, get that one win, you know, those two wins every year against Green Bay that led him to bust a move on a quarterback and give up all they gave up to get the quarterback. And I think that, you know, that's maybe more Dungy's issue is what they gave up to get him, to get Cutler, and what they're getting in return. And I do, you know, I agree. We need, you know, a quarterback isn't the whole team. He gets all the credit, he gets all the blame, but you need the parts around him. I think in Chicago they have enough parts around Jay Cutler to be better with him. I mean, they're going to be a better team. You know, a lot of the problems that people might think that he's going to have, like, oh, well, if they don't block as well, hey, he gets rid of the ball a little quicker than some of these other guys and makes maybe a little better decisions more often than not. Although, saw a study this week by Casey Joyner, my old friend, the football scientist. He's with the New York Times, ESPN. He thinks that Cutler's decision-making is no better than Rex Grossman's. Now, Casey Joyner studies mountains of film, and it's hard to, you know, when he goes out on the line and says that in the New York Times, I'm gonna go ahead and buy it. But by the same token, when you have that kind of arm that Jay Cutler does, it allows you to do a lot of things and take a lot of risks that other quarterbacks can't take. And I think that is something the Bears have needed. They just haven't had that guy in there. Now, do they have the receiving core to really make Cutler, you know, to go to the next level, to be that special team? I mean, hey, I think in Matt Forte and in their tight ends, they've got some great receivers. They may have, you know, Earl Bennett may emerge as a better receiver playing with his old college battery mate there. They played for a year together. And who knows, Devin Hester may eventually make the step up, although I'm still a little skeptical of him. But I think overall, Dungy's questions arise from the how Cutler got there, how he talked his way out of Denver, how he behaved, not calling the owner back, and I think Tony Dungy questions his leadership. And, you know, and as Dungy himself says, you know, it's not all about arm strength. Quarterback is not all about just making the throws. It's about a lot of other things. And I think those are the questions. If you have any questions about Jay Cutler, those are the questions you have.
How much does somebody like Dungy coming out, who is obviously a well-respected football mind and a football person in the industry, how does that hurt him? How much does that hurt him having such a big name question him?
You know, I don't think it really – hey, in Chicago, nothing's going to hurt Jay Cutler except Jay Cutler. I mean, he's going to come out, and he's either going to perform or not perform. I think, you know, we all like to listen to the talk, and it's all exciting and stuff. But ultimately, that's what's going to determine, Jay, you know, what we all think of Jay Cutler and what we think of this deal in the end is what he does on the field. So, you know, while I like to see Tony Dungy come out and make that kind of harsh analysis, you know, take that kind of, you know, approach, I think that alone may surprise some people. You know, who would expect maybe more of an even tone from Tony Dungy. But, you know, his new job is not being the coach, it's being the commentator, and he seems to be jumping right into it, as it was Rodney Harrison. Like I said, he was kind of calling out Peyton Manning, which Dungy didn't care for that much. But, you know, I think overall, you know, if it was another guy, I might say, hey, it would harden his resolve. Again, I look at another guy that was involved in the Cutler story, Jason Campbell. And everything we're hearing out of the Redskins campus, he's just him and Jim Zorn have like formed a bond. They both realize that the owner doesn't really like either of them, and Jason Campbell's on the phone getting guys to show up for workouts that weren't going to show up otherwise, and he's just it's made him more determined. The criticism and the doubters have made him more determined, and I think Tony Dungy's questions about Cutler would be the same questions I would have. Given the situation, the way he worked his way out of Denver, is he that kind of guy who has that resolve and who has that, you know, intense desire to make everyone who doubts him look like a chump? And he just, you know, I think it's that laid-back nature of his or the actions he took in Denver, whatever it is, he just doesn't come across that way. And time will tell, but I think that's the perception right now.
Well, that story will certainly keep developing as Cutler gets closer to the season, and we'll certainly keep you posted on that. To Philadelphia, running back Brian Westbrook had some surgery, was it earlier today or yesterday, removed a couple of bone fragments from his ankle. People are expecting he should be fine for the season, but do you think that's going to slow him at all?
You know, I think what it's going to do is make him a better value on draft day for fantasy owners, and you know, we're going to get into this a little more, I think, in depth, but, you know, it's easy for us to get caught up in the moment of a situation and in the immediacy of the news that we get on these guys anymore, that when something happens to someone, we forget it's June, and they're not going to play a game until September. Now, even the worst-case scenarios right now, Brian Westbrook say that he's going to be back in August at some point. Well, hey, if you're guys interested in drafting Brian Westbrook and everyone else is laying off him because all of a sudden, you know, oh, he had this ankle, you know, this ankle surgery in June, maybe he's not going to be ready. Well, I would argue that if you were going to draft him anyway, the ankle is the least of your worries. I mean, he's got that degenerative knee that's been an issue for years now that he's played with and played successfully with. Now, he's 30 years old. I think that's a bigger concern than the ankle. So I think, you know, we it's easy for us to lose perspective. And when that happens, when the other owners in your league lose that perspective, that's when you get value. I was talking to a fellow today. I got my IM popped up, and there's a guy in a draft, and he's going, man, it's late in the second round. Should I get, you know, Westbrook's still there. What about the ankle? Is it a big deal? And I said, well, if you weren't scared of him before, don't be scared of him now. And I think that's the approach I would take with him. And you're going to see his value fall some. And, you know, someone's going to get good value for him if he comes out and does his usual thing. And I think, you know, we can take advantage of these injuries as fantasy owners, as well-informed fantasy owners anyhow, and make the good decisions on guys. And you can wait a little longer to get a guy like Westbrook or any of these, you know, any player in a similar position where these questions have been raised. And you're saying, oh, wow, he's in the, you know, it's the third round. Why isn't Brian Westbrook gone? Well, it's because everyone's scared because he had an operation. Is that really going to be an issue come September? I don't think it is. I think the knee might be an issue as the season goes on. I think his 30-year age might be an issue as the season wears on. I think, you know, the talent around him, which is improving, might be an issue at some point this season. But those were going to be issues anyway. So if my initial ranking was I have him as a first-round talent and he's still there in the second round, I'm going to snag him.
Oh, well, yeah, that would certainly be some good value there. And you did mention how injuries are being overplayed right now a whole lot. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger limps off the field, and there's breaking news on NFL.com practically. And, I mean, Forte had some issues too. At this point, there is a long time, though, until there's going to be an actual regular season game, though. And most of these injuries, you think, are just being overblown, right?
You know, again, it's kind of like I would call it the Brett Favre syndrome. I mean, you know, anything that happens is going to make people get excited anymore, because football is no longer an off-season and a regular season. It is now a 365-day-a-year, 24-hours-a-day reality show, and we are all caught up into it. It's John and Kate plus however many guys are in the league. I mean, we just can't get enough of this stuff. And all these media outlets, including me, you know, including us at Football Diehards, we know this, and we're trying to get this information out to you. And what you need to do, you know, with this information is keep it in perspective. You know, when you hear someone has a minor hamstring strain in June, well, you take that information to heart, but you don't make any decisions based on it. What you do is you use that as a data point in a series of data points. Now, if this hamstring is still an issue the first week of July, you raise the alarm level a little bit. If he's unable to make the first training camp practice because of a hamstring, well, by golly, then you start getting a little more nervous. And if he never gets – I mean, you play it as a series of data points. Nothing, you know – don't look at everything as a snapshot in time, which is what the news kind of tends to make us do. We hear this report. Everyone gets excited about it. Next thing you know, ESPN breaking news, NFL Network breaking news, Ben Roethlisberger missed practice. Well, it's one practice in June, and nobody's going to be pushing too hard in June. And that's, you know, but it's a natural thing, and it plays into, you know, plays into our emotions, and that's what, that, you know, as fantasy owners, you know, we're really keyed into the information. But again, everything should be taken as just one point in a long series of points, and that's, you know, the owners who look at things with that perspective are the owners that are successful over the long haul.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure that'll still keep continuing as well, but moving on to some other stuff. Now, Browns quarterback right now, too, seems to be up in the air. Mangini seems to be taking his time on deciding between Brady Quinn and Derek Anderson. Who do you think is going to really win out in that battle?
You know, I think the only prediction I'd be willing to make at this moment is that Mangini won't decide with a coin toss like Romeo Crennel did last year. But that said, I think Brady Quinn has had the inside track now for a while. But you hear various things, and none of it comes from the horse's mouth, because Eric Mangini is a play it, you know, as a close to the vest kind of guy. He's a Bill Belichick disciple. He's not going to tell us anything. So you hear speculation, and when you hear those speculation, you don't know where it's coming from, whether it's an agent or somebody's friend and somebody has an axe to grind. It's safe to assume when you're hearing things from unnamed sources that it's somebody close to one of the people involved who has, you know, a dog in the fight. So when we hear Brady Quinn's the early favorite, well, maybe that's because the reports that say that, they talk to his agent or people that know him. So,
well,
you know,
at this point, too, I mean, even if it was the water boy coming out and saying that, at least he's been on the practice field and can make some sort of a call.
It's true, and I think, and I do think, you know, from what we've heard, I mean, the early, you know, if you go back again, if you look at this as a series of data points, what were we hearing early before the draft? We were hearing Brady Quinn was available for trade. Well, he never did get traded. So that tells us something right there, that they decided to keep him for whatever reason. They also paid Derek Anderson a nice roster bonus. Well, there's another data point that tells you things are pretty even. They didn't trade Quinn. They paid Anderson. They're splitting reps equally. We're hearing this kind of the same thing in Denver, too, by the way, with Orton and Sims, that they're getting equal playing time. Hey, is Kyle Orton the early favorite? Yes. But is anything decided? No. And I don't think anything's decided in Cleveland. Eric Mangini says it won't be until the third week of the preseason, at least. And I have no reason to doubt that. Certainly, we won't be told officially that anything's going on, but we, you know, again, we'll keep watching for those data points. And when one guy's getting more reps than the other, I mean, there comes a point where the momentum, gets too hard to overcome. Another case like that we're seeing right now is in Baltimore, where Ray Rice, you know, the buzz on him is starting to build. He's getting all the first team reps, and granted, it's the mini camp, but again, when you put all these data points in a line, Willis McGahee off-season surgery, LaRon McClain moved back to fullback, Ray Rice bulked up, Ray Rice working with the first team. You know, you can see the direction things are heading, and you take all these things into account, and as we hit the you know, when training camp starts, when the preseason game starts, if the things you're seeing then affirm what we're hearing now, well, you know, then you're starting to build that trend. And I would say, you know, my prediction on the quarterback in Cleveland would be that Brady Quinn is going to be the guy. He will be the starter for the regular season opener, and so far that seems to be where the momentum is building. We'll have to watch in July, you know, late July, early August, and see if the evidence then continues to bear that out. I think it will. And if it does, I think Brady Quinn, you know, he kind of has a feel for that offense. You know, it's the same Notre Dame-style offense that Charlie Weiss had, you know, at Notre Dame. So, you know, there's reason to believe he can be moderately successful. I mean, I'm not going to put too much stock in the Browns this year and get anyone's hopes high. I don't see a huge scoring season. But, you know, again, everyone has value at some point in the draft, and the starting quarterback for the Browns will have some value, most likely as a backup. But, hey, Brady Quinn, if he can get that job, he's got some skills. So does Derek Anderson. We forget it's a 5-touchdown game. I mean, all these guys are capable of playing in this league, but the ones who cash in on their opportunity and get in the right situation are the guys that are going to pay off in the season for fantasy owners.
Yeah, well, and actually this is going to hurt probably both at their fantasy value at this point. I mean, drafts are going to be starting here before too long, and likely before any sort of a decision is going to be made. What's your advice to somebody who might want to draft Derek Anderson? I mean, wait, don't do it.
Yeah, well, hey, when you say it's going to hurt their fantasy value, that means it's going to help a smart owner. Because a smart owner is going to realize that at some point, hey, this guy has value. Now, you know, if you're drafting today and you're gonna and you have to decide which Cleveland quarterback to draft, you're rolling the dice. I mean, you know, if I had to pick one today, I'd pick Brady Quinn. That by no means means Brady Quinn is a lock to be the opening day starter. Derek Anderson could come on. So, I mean, that has to play into your calculation. So if you're drafting today, do you really want to touch a Cleveland quarterback? I myself would let somebody else be the hero. I wouldn't touch him with your 10-foot pole. I don't care which guy it is. Because it's up in the air. It would be the same with Denver. Do I think Denver's quarterback might be a decent play this year? Absolutely. But until I know for sure who it is, I'm not going to burn a draft pick on him. I'm going to go with a more certain thing. And there are guys that I may have to pick a little higher, but I know they're going to be on the field, assuming they're healthy. And those are the guys I'm going to go with.
Well, that's certainly going to be interesting to watch as this quarterback battle gets closer to the regular season. So be sure to keep your eyes peeled. And yeah, like you say, I mean, with the fantasy value dropping, I mean, that could get you a good pick late in the round to be able to get a good quarterback.
And I think that's the thing we have to stress. You know, when we say that's going to hurt someone's value, that is code for that's going to make somebody a great pick. I mean, you're going to get somebody later in the draft than you expected. And you know, when it hurts their value, it helps your team. And you know, and that's the whole key to successful fantasy drafting is to pick for value. Get guys later in the draft that are going to outperform where you pick them. And I mean, that's the key to success. We've hit the nail on the head right there.
Another player whose fantasy value seems to be skyrocketing right now, as probably it well should, is Tom Brady. He seems to be looking good, working out a lot of the rust. Some of his workouts last week were somewhat criticized, kind of a little rusty. His arms looked good, but he's been kind of moving poorly. He seems to be getting that rust out of there, moving a little bit better now, right?
Yeah, the rust is going away quickly, and you would expect it would. I think, you know, hey, is there always going to be some concern about a guy coming off a rebuilt knee? Yes, of course there is. But, you know, when you look at Brady's game, you look at the talent around him, you look at the system that's in place, you know, a lot of those things can be minimized. He's not a guy who runs around a lot. He's not a hugely mobile quarterback. And I think, you know, all those things have to factor into when you're determining his value. Now, do I think everybody is getting a little more excited than they need to in June about a series of off-season workouts? Yes. You know, the good news we got out of these workouts was he expects to play in preseason games. Again, putting together the series of data points, we know he wants to do that. We know what he's done now. If he's able to make good and convince his coaching staff that he should be playing in the preseason, well, then we have an even better idea. You know, that solidifies what you've been hearing. And those are the things I look for as a fantasy owner. When I hear something in May that somebody wants to do something in June, they do it in June, then they want to do something else in July, they do that in July, that's the kind of consistency I'm looking for. I want to see the things I hear a month before happen a month later. And so if Tom Brady is able to get on the field in the preseason, that's just further evidence. I would suggest that trading Matt Castle was all the evidence we needed to know that the Patriots believe Tom Brady is ready to return. And the rest of it is just convincing ourselves. And it would be great to see, you know, exactly how he plays if he's overcome the mental obstacle that, you know, that tends to be the biggest problem for the quarterbacks. I know it was for Carson Palmer when you looked at him coming back from his. But certainly the time frame that Brady's had to come back is, that's an imminently doable time frame. And if anybody's going to overcome the obstacles, the hurdles, the mental aspect of this, isn't it Tom Brady? Superman.
That would certainly seem. He seems to be the golden boy. He seems to be the one who's always able to pretty much rise above everything else. I mean, is he the top prospect right now at quarterback?
I still think Drew Brees is. Honestly, I mean, you look at what's going on with that offense, the pieces they have in place, the aggressive play calling they use. There just really aren't a lot of questions. In fact, the only questions are some of the guys who came up a little short last year. Jeremy Shockey leaps right to mind, going to deliver as expected. And if they do, that offense gets even more potent. So Brees is still my top guy, until further notice. And he might even be if Tom Brady's 100% healthy and proves it. I mean, you know, the 50-touchdown year was a great thing for Brady. We're a year out of that. But again, just like Drew Brees, expecting Drew Brees to set, you know, to come within 15 yards of setting the all-time passing record again, that's unrealistic. Because that's why it's the record, just like the 50 touchdowns. But, hey, to think that he can't have another huge season, he's absolutely going to have another big year assuming he stays healthy. So he's my number one guy locked in, I think, throughout. Something bad would have to happen for me to change my mind there.
Well, yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, he just seems to be the golden boy. It seems like nothing can take or keep him down. I mean, obviously it was a huge, huge loss for him last year when he went down in the opening game. But, I mean, by all accounts, this would be kind of the perfect continuation of the story for him to have another breakout year.
Oh, hey, it would not surprise me at all for him to have a very successful, certainly a top five performance for quarterbacks. In fact, I would be surprised if he doesn't, if he's not a top five quarterback.
Well, no, he's surrounded by a lot of people, too.
By that same token, you know, I mean, it's really, you know, when you're drafting quarterbacks in your draft is, you know, or I mean, we've had this discussion, I mean, as someone who drafted Brady early last year, I think I'm not drafting quarterbacks so early anymore. Because you learn these lessons. I mean, something can happen to anybody, and if, you know, if Drew Brees is going to throw for 4,800 yards and 25 touchdowns, and I have to use the first or second round pick to get him, wouldn't I rather have Phillip Rivers in the fourth or fifth round, who's going to put up close to those numbers, or Aaron Rodgers later in the draft? So, I mean, that's when the value starts coming in, you know, making your value picks and drafting, you know, using a value-based system. That's where that comes into play.
Yeah, so it's all about the timing of when you're able to do it. And it's kind of a flowing draft throughout where you really have to be watching each and every draft, see who's available, what round it is, when you're going to be picking to go ahead and make that kind of call.
Yeah, and it's relative values, you know. I mean, hey, the top quarterback, he's going to be the top quarterback for a reason because he outperforms anyone else. But if you have to burn a first or second round pick to land him, when you could get a player of better value at another position, and you can still get a quarterback that's going to produce 80-90% of what the number one guy produces in the fourth or fifth round of your draft, you get the better value that way. And I think that's the smart way to draft. You know, is it great to have superstars? Is it great to have guys that have 50 touchdown seasons? Yes, but there just aren't a whole lot of those guys, and nobody's going to do it consistently. So to think you can predict that is, you know, just like, you know, to believe Drew Brees is going to repeat last year's performance out of hand. Hey, all the things are there. All the pieces are in place. The play calling is there, but, you know, funny things happen. So.
But for any number of reasons, yeah, that could possibly not happen.
Exactly.
All right, Anquan Boldin has a new agent. He's hired Tom Condon to go ahead and see if he can go ahead and get a deal done. Cards GM Rod Graves is looking forward to meeting with a new agent. Do you think they're going to be able to hammer out a deal here pretty soon?
I wouldn't say pretty soon. You know, they got Adrian Wilson a new deal this week. Carlos Dansby is up next. If they get something done with Boldin during the season, maybe if it happened even as late as October, it wouldn't surprise me. Again, he has no leverage in this case. He has no leverage. And I think, you know, obviously he's making the change because he's trying to change the dynamic of the negotiations. Drew Rosenhaus a little more, you know, a little more out there, a little more aggressive in his approach than Tom Condon and the CAA. So, you know, will that make a difference? It will make some difference. But the Cardinals aren't going to do anything they don't have to do until they have to do it. And I don't think they have to do anything for him this year. I just think they will, because it's the right thing to do for the team, not for Boldin, not for anybody else, but for the team, and that's how it's going to work out.
Absolutely. Got to go and have our obligatory Brett Favre mention. He is still retired, at least as of right now. His longtime representative, Bus Cook, came out earlier and said that, by all accounts, there's no change in Favre's plan. What does that mean?
Baghdad Bus speaks again. You know, it means, well, here's what it means, Skip, and this is the best part, is it means Brett Favre has not yet decided if he wants to play, and he's probably not going to decide he wants to play until as long as he has to wait. I mean, I know the Vikings kind of supposedly said, hey, we'd like you to decide this, you know, this week, meaning last week. And you know what? Brett Favre's going to decide when Brett Favre decides. And if he decides he wants to play and the Vikings gave him a deadline and he broke it, are they going to say no? Of course they're not going to say no. They're going to say, come on in, Brett, because they're watching Sage Rosenfels and Tavares Jackson every day. And they really think Brett Favre will give him a chance to win, and he really may. But the problem is I don't think we're going to see a decision on this until training camp, you know, around the beginning of training camp, kind of like last year. Something's going to get done right around then. And I think that's how Brett Favre feels comfortable doing it. Again, supposedly it all is going to still hinge on the shoulder. Seems to me like maybe he knows a little more about that shoulder than we're hearing at this point. And the fact that we're hearing nothing, I find, is very interesting because, you know, usually his PR agency at ESPN is continuously putting out small tidbits to keep us on the hook, and we're hearing absolutely nothing. So I find that the most interesting aspect of the story, aside from the fact that all vacations for July have officially been canceled.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we just couldn't seem to get through an entire show without mentioning Brett Favre, so I had to throw that in there.
I appreciate that.
All right. Chad Ochocinco came out earlier. He's humbled by the bad season. He seems now like he's really, really hungry.
Chad Johnson is 6 years old. Seriously. I mean, have you ever been to a kindergarten or a first grade class? It's full of Chad Johnson. This guy is, I mean, you know, hey, love him. He's an endearing, you know, all these things. But he just doesn't really get it. And, you know, he gets, you know, when Carson Palmer starts calling him out a couple weeks ago, saying, you know, the week before last, saying, well, I haven't seen Chad. I don't know what Chad's doing. Nobody knows what Chad's doing. And he starts hearing that talk. You know, look, next thing you know, he's on NFL Network in a boxing gym working out with a former welterweight champion, saying how great he's going to be, and he doesn't need to talk to anybody. He's in exile. They'll see when he gets there. And, man, I'm just going, at some point, it's got to get a little tiresome. Hey, I think I'm from the group who thinks that Chad Ochocinco is going to come in and have a nice rebound this year. I think Carson Palmer is going to have a solid year, and Lavernius Coles is going to help keep some pressure off him. Chris Henry is going to have a good year, I think. But, you know, the antics have grown old for me, and I'll be excited to see him on the field and playing, and hopefully that'll be the focus of the story this year and not the off-field stuff.
Well, we can certainly hope. Of course, you'll be able to catch
hope
all that
cheap.
In the.
I like to indulge myself, Skip.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm sure we'll be able to see a lot of that in the upcoming Hard Knocks. When does that start, actually?
I think it's right when training camp. It'll run concurrent with training camp. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that myself.
Oh,
it's
man, that's
quite cool. Interesting. I don't know if they have enough cameras. I think they're taking like 50 cameras or something. And I think Ochocinco requires at least 53 by himself.
Yeah, I was going to say that's going to be the Ochocinco show. And now my absolute favorite story of the week. T.O. can't find a home.
No. No.
What
LOL.
Is up with that? LOL, LOL, WT is going on. I don't know. It's funny. But he came up on his Twitter earlier this week, and apparently there's a housing development in Buffalo that refused to allow him to live there because he would just bring, quote, drama to the neighborhood.
Here, I let me read the tweet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably haven't.
Tripping about the residents at One Deer Run won't rent to me because they said they don't want any drama in their neighborhood. LOL, wow.
Wow.
Now, I'm thinking that, you know, there's two sides to every story, and now we've heard Terrell Owens' side, and I'm thinking just maybe it's the people of Deer Run haven't worked their abs to the degree T.O. has, and they fear being shown up when the driveway sit-up sessions begin. What do you think, Skip?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait to see all that stuff. And, I mean, well, you know, any resident who wouldn't want T.O. living next to them can make a pretty reasonable argument.
If I was a neighbor who lived next to T.O., I would make sure I had a nice pad for all the satellite trucks. Rental fees would be reasonable. But, hey, these are hard times. People need to get ahead in hard times, and that seems like a grand opportunity living next to T.O. to me.
Do you think this is at all kind of incumbent upon how he's being received by the fans? I mean, overall, the fan response has been nicer than that, but do you think that might be kind of winding?
I suspect there are certain neighborhoods where houses might cost $500,000 or rent for $3,000 a month where people are a little more staid and conservative and perhaps not interested in drama and VH1 reality shows being filmed on their streets. I'm guessing because I don't live in any of those places, but that's not an unreasonable assumption, do you think?
No, not at all. Well, that's pretty much all the time we have for today, but anything else you wanted to close on?
No, I think we covered it all. Again, trying to finish up the pro forecast. Really looking forward to getting some good magazines out this year, and as always, and looking forward to sharing some more information with the folks every week with you, Skip.
Absolutely. But you got to get on that deal. It's the best deal in town. Sign up. They'll give you $20. They'll get all the access to all the website, and you can continue to hear our podcasts each and every week. Well, until next week, this has been the FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Skip Lacombe.